We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we are recording this at 7 a.m., day after the draft. That was a fun draft party last night.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to everyone coming through. A lot of people came right when the doors opened. I thought that was amazing. People usually like to wait until the last possible second. But thanks, everyone, for coming. It was awesome to see just how many people would show up. It was great.
Thank you, Standard Deviant, for hosting us. 4 p.m. on a Thursday is not the easiest time, but it came together. We're going to do another party like that. Now, maybe opening night, maybe. Well, next time we do it, it won't be at 4 on a Thursday.
Yeah, that was awesome. Let's get into it. I mean, the crowd reaction to the picks last night was something to behold. I didn't know how people were going to feel, Sam, but Warriors made two picks. And each time, actually, you know what? The first crazy reaction that we got was pick four. Pick four.
Yeah, let's start
there. It got insane. Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little surprised at the lack of trade activity yesterday. I wasn't convinced the Warriors were going to make a trade, but I thought it would be a much more active draft day. Looks like everyone was bluffing. If I had a read on it, I think everyone... teams are starting to get sick of paying those overpay prices where you throw like 10 picks to get one thing type of thing. But yeah, Toronto takes Scottie Barnes, number four. And that kind of sets off a chain of events, which gets us to the Warriors at number seven, choosing between James Bouknight, Franz Wagner, and Jonathan Kuminga. They took Jonathan Kuminga. And I guess the first thing to say here is, I mean, he does have a chance to be a superstar. He has all the tools. 6'7" wing, might be 6'8", to be honest. Really strong, can pass, can dribble, can shoot a little bit. Got to work out the shot a little bit. Has a chance to be a two-way monster. I mean, you hear scouts saying, like, has a chance to be Kawhi Leonard, which I think is insane. But you also hear, like, Siakam, Harrison Barnes, just... you know,
so three totally different players.
What we're saying is he's a very, very raw wing with physical tools. Yeah. And it brings up the first thing you have to think of when you hear that is 19-year-old raw project. And we know this roster has an MVP caliber player in Steph Curry, along with two other Hall of Famers, one coming off of two injuries in Klay Thompson. How does this fit in? What are they doing?
So first off, Josh Giddey went six, which is insane. I don't know why that happened, but shout out to the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought they would take one of these athletic guys for sure. So there's one thing that I thought was interesting. The second part is right before the night started, Russell Westbrook got traded to the Lakers. And I bring this up when talking about the Warriors because I don't think the trade's going to work out. It could be good, but the Lakers said, we only got a year left of LeBron or 2 years. We're going to go get this guy that we think is going to help us win a championship, whether it's going to work or not, whatever. Right. But it's Russell Westbrook. He's a superstar. He is a superstar. They gave up some stuff. They didn't give up like 18 first.
He's not a superstar,
but they went in They went in and got a guy. They made a trade for a guy. And when I look at this pick, that's what I think about. It's, well, cool. Great. Kuminga could be awesome. Everything you just said could be Kawhi Leonard. Could be Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's got a similar story. Like, he could be all these things. Great. Where is the move that you're saying, all right, well, LeBron's 39 years old. He's only got a couple years left. Make it happen, right? Where is that move? They are saying it's not there, right? Bob Myers, of course, is going to say it's not there. It's his job to say it's not.
Yeah, can we talk about Bob real quick?
Yeah, that's the part that frustrates me too.
I'm not taking too much from his quotes, mm-hmm. to be perfectly frank. Like, there's no incentive for him to publicly tell people, like, oh, we're desperately trying to trade the picks, you know?
Oh, no, yeah.
He's got to sell. Like, and as we found out, the Warriors do love to sell.
Yeah.
But with that said, it's like, it is worth noting the Warriors, who we think have a couple more years of contention with Steph Curry as a focal point, the draft has passed and they've done nothing to put themselves closer there. Now, it's worth noting.
Right. So if you Bradley Beal
didn't get traded. Pascal Siakam didn't get traded. Who else do we think's potentially on the trade market? Zach LaVine did not get traded. It's not like they passed on these players yet. So if anything, we're still in a holding pattern.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm with you there. I guess I brought us on a tangent. It was just frustrating to see if you're a light years organization and you're what you end up with two awesome first round picks. You get a once in a lifetime, two lottery picks as a contending team, and you just end up using them. It's not really light years. Like, that's not really like that's
yeah, but how valuable are these picks?
I mean, Jonathan Kuminga is pretty valuable. I mean, we're gonna talk about him in a second.
Is he?
I think so.
Why didn't he go higher?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean,
Josh Giddey went six. I mean, that he should. I mean, that's just. I mean, that's
I probably would have took Giddey.
To me, that's not really someone. Yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Anyway, let's get back on Kuminga here. So I guess here's what we know about him. As much as we think he's raw, we're going off of 13 games in February in the G League bubble. I'll give you the counterpoint. LaMelo Ball in Australia did not look in the same amount of games, and I think somewhere between 11 to 13 games. When I watched him in Australia, I'm like, that dude is so far away from being an NBA player. And then lo and behold, we saw how he looked beginning of the NBA. Do you think something like that's possible for Kuminga? Do you think it's possible maybe we're overrating what was 13 games? And let's be real, five or six of them were just awful. Five or six of them were okay. And then he had like 2 to 3 games, which were really, really nice.
I don't see them LaMelo compare. I think it's a Wiseman comparison. Wiseman played, what, 2 games before he was in the NBA? I think this is that scenario. It's the exact same scenario to me. I mean, he could play basketball, and then we're going to see a different story. But as far as I'm concerned, I love Wiseman's athleticism and potential. I love Kuminga's athleticism and potential. I would have picked them, Sam, at 7. Like, that's a great pick. Like, you don't pass up on a guy like that at 7. But just like Wiseman, he's ready to play basketball in 2037. Like that's the thing.
I guess the counter to my LaMelo point is LaMelo always had basketball feel. Like there was never an issue with feel.
Incredible.
Kuminga, it's raw tools, but you're not sure if he has any sort of feel. Like he's a guy who tries to go into his move when he should pass the ball. A lot of the same things we saw with Wiseman, where you're like, I know he has talent. I think he's going to eventually become a player. He does not know how to play 5-on-5 basketball. He knows how to do 1-on-1 moves in an empty gym. And
and they look great though. They look great.
By the way, I think that's probably Wiseman. Why. I think that's
why what I call him.
I think that's why Giddey went ahead of him. To be honest with you, I personally liked Giddey. I was coming around on him at the number 7 pick because I'm like, dude, he's 6'9" with that kind of feel. He's gonna be a good player.
That's a 14 though. Like that's. That's
I think
my
he's
thing.
A lot better than that. I mean, you just don't find 6'9 guys who have that kind of playmaking ability. Yeah, the athleticism's mediocre, but being 6'9 matters.
You can only play make so much if you can't get to the hole. But we're not here to talk Giddey anyway. We're not debating Giddey.
Let's get back on Kuminga here.
So you make a few points I'm curious about because everybody is saying he's not ready to play basketball. Okay, so we found out about Wiseman that he's not ready to play basketball. How true do we think that?
Not on a team that has like playoff aspirations.
Yeah, his quotes were great. I mean, Wiseman's quotes were great too. But Kuminga was saying like, "Hey, you know, I feel like I'm ready to play." Of course, he's going to say that. But you know, I'm curious. We're going to see him play next week in Sacramento. He is going to play, and then
the week after in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no reason to believe he's not going to play at both of those.
Wiseman didn't play, right?
Wasn't even one.
unfortunately, he couldn't.
And I want to note this. Today, player development staff, Kenny Atkinson, Jama, and Milejevic are setting Kuminga and Moody up with a development plan, something Wiseman did not get. It's becoming clear to me the Warriors' big move might be their development staff. And that's what they're banking on. They're banking on if we bring in some coaches who know what they're doing and these guys have a normal offseason, maybe Kuminga is more ready to go than James Wiseman was last year. That is the gamble. I guess I'm on the fence about it. I do think he has a shot to be more ready than Wiseman, but there's a big difference between being more ready than Wiseman and being where you want players on the wings to be around Steph Curry.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good
more thing. Ready than Wiseman.
Not more ready than Wiseman. Better. I think it's a good thing. I'm very optimistic about that. Them picking up player development coaches and putting resources there and figuring out how to get their young guys better. Because you know why? If you don't, you end up trading for guys like Andrew Wiggins, who's a very good basketball player, but costs $38 million. Like, that's what happens when you can't develop players. You
end up paying 3 times as much because...
For what?
Yeah, exactly.
For what? It's like, he's cool, but he's not $38 million worth. So I think this is great in terms of what you're saying, the player development guys. I think that's awesome. If they can get Kuminga and Wiseman... And Moody, maybe less so. We'll get to Moody here. But
Moody
like,
also, Moody's a teenager. I mean, 19? he has more feel than those guys, but he has a lot of work to do too.
Big fan. But okay, let's get to it now because the crowd, I mean, last night at the show, people lukewarm on Kuminga. I think people wanted the pick to be traded. And then when Moody was there at 14 and they announced him, I swear I thought Steph hit a 3 to win the NBA Finals game. I really don't know. We have people standing on the benches and cheering. it was amazing for a selection of Moses Moody. Sam, what did you think about that at 14?
So I like the pick. I think it's value. We've been saying it the entire pre-draft process. Everyone at 7 feels like you're taking him too high, and everyone at 14 feels like a steal. If they took Moody at 7, I'd be like, eh, that's a really like low ceiling buy at 7. But at 14, I'm like, whoa, they got a deal. You know, that's kind of how I felt. I do like the pick. Moody at worst, I think, is going to end up being a good rotation wing. But I do want to kind of pause people and point out, like, he is a teenager. Just because he appears more pro ready does not mean he is pro ready. You know, the only guys I think are really pro ready are like Duarte and Murphy because they're a little older.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think of the pick?
I was a huge fan just because throughout the draft process, he felt like someone that had projectable NBA skills. The only projectable NBA skill Kuminga has, in my opinion, is that he's really long. And I don't even know if that's a skill. That's just, you're just born that way. With Moses Moody,
he has outlier physical traits.
Yeah. There you go. But with Moody, it's like, okay, he can shoot, and you can project that to be an NBA skill. He's long too. He's got good, he's slow as hell. That's kind of the other thing where I'm kind of worried about it, where it's like, oh, God, it's like another Giddy thing here. I'm looking at a big guy that can't move. But maybe he creates some type of handle at some point. That's Kenny Atkinson's job. But I think that's a guy at 14 where I was a little bit uncertain about them taking Duarte, which is more like 24. You kind of get what you get there. With Moses Moody, there's still a lot of projection to go. Like, he is not the guy that he's not going to be this guy.
At minimum, I feel like that he's going to be a 40% 3-point shooter. Might not happen year one. Yeah. Might not even happen year two, but like, the shot looks too nice. 80%+ from the line in college. Yeah, he's gonna be able to hit threes at a high clip in the NBA. He won't be Klay Thompson. Newsflash: there's only one Klay Thompson. He won't be Steph Curry because there's one Steph Curry. But he should be a better shooter long term than, let's say, Wiggins, Bazemore, and some of the guys that were around on the wings the past few years.
I also found it interesting that in high school, he was a role player. Saffacini came on and talked about it a little bit.
I mean, that's like one of the most stacked high school teams. So,
absurd, yeah. Right? Like, absurd, see a guy like that, though. Like, a lottery guy that's a role player in high school and a lottery. But I think that bodes well in I think the mentality of who he's going to play with, right? Because he's going to play with Steph, Draymond, and Clay. He's going to be a role player.
That is a great point. He knows how to play off of great players.
Yes.
Which, you know, it could change for Kuminga, but to date, he has not shown that he knows how to play off of great players. The same way James Wiseman, you know, James Wiseman at times thought he was the star of the show, you know, always wanted to go to his move instead of like keeping it simple. I don't know if that's a skill, but like, he's just a little more mature as a basketball player. Even though they're both the same age, Moody's definitely a little more mature in terms of playing 5-on-5 basketball, which is ultimately helpful. They do need someone who can contribute next year. What grade do you give the Warriors on these picks? I know you're disappointed they didn't make a trade, but I want to keep bringing this up. No one's made a trade yet. I want to save the disappointment for when Pascal Siakam gets traded to Portland, or like Beal gets traded to like New York or something. Until those guys are moved, those moves are still, you know, they're still balls in the air, I guess.
Yeah. And I think that's another conversation about James Wiseman. Like, I don't think they want to trade the guy. But greats. Kuminga, if you're telling me that I can't grade it based on trades, I give that pick an A. That's an A. I mean, that I feel like is one of the most talented guys in the entire draft. Top four talent. 4 or 5. And he slipped a few spots. And anytime that happens, who else were you going to take at that position? Franz Wagner? Like, Franz Wagner, that's a guy that you get as a vet min guy. Like, the Warriors are trying to get Nick Batum in 3 days, Sam. Like, that's Franz Wagner, but I don't know if you want to take that at 7. So I give it an A.
I think Franz Wagner is better than that, but Franz Wagner will never be option one or option two on a contender. Yep. He has a chance to be like an Iguodala type, like, dude, this guy just makes all the winning plays, but it's highly unlikely Franz Wagner will ever be like the guy who gets you 25 points you build your offense around. Kuminga and maybe Bouknight were the only guys on the board who had the potential to be players you could build a team around. I give it an A minus. I just don't know what else their options were without knowing what trades.
Did you want Bouknight? Is that why?
Too? I do like Bouknight little more than Kuminga.
I did too.
I think there's a little less gamble there. He understands how to play basketball just a little bit more than Kuminga. But I'm not mad at the Kuminga pick at all. It just is what it is. I think what we're mad about is we want the Warriors to put a better team on the floor next year. And at least last night during the draft, they didn't address those needs. They did not. You know, they didn't do anything that's going to help the 2021-2022 Warriors. What about the Moody pick? What grade do you give that?
Oh, I just the guy with the highest upside at that moment, I thought, with skills that I think could make him a rotational basketball player in year two, year three. I think A+, in my opinion, that was the pick. Now, I guess the only little issue I have with both of these picks is it'd be nice if they had drafted someone who can get to the hole a little bit, who can create their own shot a little bit.
They didn't address that need.
Did not really care about that. Maybe they feel like
actually Kuminga might be able to be that guy, to be honest.
But then it's Bouknight, right? If you're going to pick one of those guys at that upside seven pick and you want a guy who can create their own shot, then you pick Bouknight. But you're right. Kuminga could be that guy. But I was thinking more guard player, guard-ish at that position. True. So neither of these guys kind of do that. But wings, you can never have enough wings. I think Atlanta does a very good job of this. You can never have enough wings. So I thought, you know, no center here, no undersized guard here. I thought it was great. If there's no other options and you pick and you had to pick at 7-14, I think the Warriors did the best they could.
Yeah, I mean, so now we got to get to the bigger issue. The issue is not Jonathan Kuminga, just as the issue wasn't James Wiseman. The issue is Steph Curry is 33 years old, and there's what, five players in the NBA who are good enough to be the best player in a title team?
Yes.
Five or six, something like that.
You can add Giannis now to the list.
He's one of them. Ugh. He is one of them, and they do not have a roster that's anywhere close to competing for a title. So that's where I think the disappointment is, and that's not Jonathan Kuminga's fault. That's just kind of something the Warriors have to figure out. So maybe we should transition to that right now. Free agency starts on Sunday. The Warriors are going to be active. What do you think the Warriors can even do? Because they don't have a lot of options. They have a taxpayer mid-level exception, which is about $6 million. They have obviously vet minimum guys. Maybe you get Kent Bazemore back on a vet minimum. And they can maybe generate a traded player exception with Kelly Oubre. Other than that, there's not many options unless you're talking about actually trading players on the roster.
Let's start with Kelly Oubre. Actually, first off, great suit, Moses Moody last night. Great suit. And then Jonathan Kuminga speaks four languages. So those two things, I'm going to say A++, Sam, after that. Kelly Oubre, I think, is where we need to start because that's the largest salary slot that the Warriors can use. The tax payment level is $5 million, right? $6 million. Kelly Oubre, 14. 5.9, $6 million. So that's the move, right? That's the move. That's a problem because you need a couple things to happen, right? You need Kelly Oubre to want to help you out, which I don't know why he would do that. You want the other team to want Kelly Oubre. I don't know why they would do that. And then you want a player on the team that Kelly Oubre is going to. So that's a big issue. But Sam, if they just let Kelly walk off with nothing, then that's
another I'm going to be honest with you. I think the more likely scenario is you get a TPE for Oubre.
Okay.
And then you're looking at other teams' rosters trying to generate a trade. Maybe you attach a first round pick to the TPE to get someone.
Like how you got Oubre. Yeah.
The Boston Celtics did that last year. Also with Evan Fournier. They got a TPE for Gordon Hayward going out of town. They sat on it. They traded first round pick to get Evan Fournier from the Orlando Magic, who ended up helping them a little on the wing. that's kind of what I think the Warriors can do there. But that's not a free agency market thing. That's a trade market thing.
Yeah. Then you're going to have to wait even if you do that, right? So that's one thing there. I think that's important. The Warriors need to sort that out. The other part is if they end up doing that, Joe Lacob's going to have to pay some money. And I don't know if he's willing to do that for that selection. So that's one thing.
Now let's talk taxpayer mid-level exception. So yeah. The name that most Warrior fans have circled is Nicholas Batum. I don't know how realistic that is because they haven't made a trade yet. I feel like if they made the big trade and got a Siakam or a Beal, then they would get Batum in a ring chasing mode, being like, you know what? They got Steph Curry. They got Siakam. They got Klay come back from injury. I could really help that team out. That seems like a team that could compete with the Nets, the Lakers for a title. Right now, it's just Steph Curry and you're praying Klay Thompson comes back healthy. So do you think Batum's even a realistic option?
Yeah, realistic maybe isn't the way to put it, right? Because he's kind of primo. He's the best of the free agency crop that's a ring chaser. There's nobody better. That's why we bring him up every day.
The best of the taxpayer mid-level options, yeah.
Nobody better out there. And honestly, he's better than a lot of the guys that maybe could get big money because the guys at big money aren't role players on contending teams. That's what the Warriors are looking for. That's what they need. Serge Ibaka's probably up there, though he was hurt.
I don't think Ibaka's opting out of his deal.
Oh, so. He's got $9 million again, player option.
Yeah. Take that. With that back injury, it's probably better for him to not opt out.
Scratch that. If I'm Batum, why wouldn't I go to LA, the Lakers? Like, well, that's a team that I brought this up earlier. Like, they were chasing a championship. I mean,
because Westbrook just came to town.
Well, he doesn't care about shooting or anything like that, right? He just wants to win a title. As far as I mean, he played with Marcus Morris.
He's also like not that guy. He's a guy to get you Leonard.
Like I don't.
He's like the guy to get you 7 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Like he's a perfect glue guy, really. So why not go to Phoenix?
And so if I were him, yeah,
why not go to Milwaukee?
I think the question. If you're the Warrior, unless Draymond did a number on him in Japan, I guess Batum is playing. He's actually playing, so I guess there's that. But I don't know how realistic that one is.
I do think if the Warriors made one big move, he would be into it because I think he's the type of player who's really into the Warriors playing style because it fits his game.
Yeah, Batum. I mean, that's a player that I've always loved, and Steve Kerr probably wants him more than he wants Kuminga. So
some other names I want to throw out there who maybe they could get in that same range: Rudy Gay, Otto Porter, Avery Bradley, Josh Richardson, Patty Mills. Some wings there, also some guards there. So let's talk about the wings. Any of those names jump out to you as someone you'd like to see on this roster?
One problem with those guards is that you have Jordan Poole.
Any of those. So let's talk about the wings first.
Okay. Rudy Gay, it sounds like he's going to be on the team. No, I don't know, but it just sounds like he's someone that is preordained to play on the Warriors. It came from Pop's system. Well, he's been playing in Pop's system, so he knows how it works. It's similar to Steve Kerr's, and I think he's a perfect fit. Rudy Gay is a perfect fit, perfect vet guy for the wings that the Warriors have, the young wings like Kuminga and Moody. He would be a great mentor for
a
Moody,
locker
actually.
Room. Shout out locker room adult.
Oh, you know what? You know what I just thought of? Rudy Gay, who I think is a great fit, I think the Warriors should get and maybe will get, is his early career play probably going to be like Kuminga. Late career play, very similar to Moses Moody in terms of what I think he's going to be. So maybe I'm wrong, but I think like when I think of Rudy Gay's two careers, one is a shoot first wing that shoots way too much, volume guy in a terrible system, Kuminga. And then you get Moses Moody, who's a great role player. And plays defense and shoots a little bit. So I think that I just kind of crack myself up, Sam. But yes, Rudy Gay, I think great fit, great fit.
The name I'm really interested in that I mentioned is Otto Porter. I think Otto Porter has a chance to be this year's Nicholas Batum.
Oh God.
I think he's off of a couple bad years with injuries, with being asked to be something he isn't. Hear me out on this one. Otto Porter, excellent shooter. Legitimate 6'8", 6'9". Like him and Rudy Gay are actually 6'9". They're actually big wins. They're not 6'4", claiming they're 6'6". You know, they're like legitimate guys who could play power forward for the Warriors. can really shoot the ball 40%+ for his career, can also pass the ball. Not the passer Batum is, but not a black hole. He's not Kelly Oubre. He's not Andrew Wiggins. He knows how to pass the ball. And like Batum, he was given a lot of money to be the man. And we all know he's not the man. We all know he's best when he's a role player, when he's spotting up and moving the ball and doing those things. I think it's worth it to look at him. I think he's the type of guy who, if you get him on a team where he gets to be a role player, everyone will be like, wow, what a steal again.
Yeah. I was a big Otto Porter fan, so I'm not going to lie.
And then you saw Otto Porter as the man and you're like, this isn't it.
No. And he is a great role player. He also, I mean, I guess I'm not watching all the games that he's played the last few years. He got hella fat. Now, you said injuries and you said part of that, but
so
it's
did
like,
Batum though.
Yeah. That was at least
so did Boris Diaw. You get paid.
One of my favorite players of all time.
You get paid, you get full, then you go chase a ring.
Boris Diaw, I love it. Boris Diaw, is there a guy like that in the NBA today? Like just athletic pass.
Nick Batum.
There's just nothing like him anymore.
Nick Batum, by the way, did say the player. No, you got to hear me out on this one. Nick Batum said he watched Boris Diaw film when he went to the Clippers because that's who he's trying to model his late career game after, which I think is perfect. Late career Diaw was like one of the most effective role players in the NBA.
Love him. Yeah. Well, but he was fat. Batum's in shape now. So
yeah, that's true.
Diaw's the best. I'm good with Otto Porter. To me, that feels like more of a make good contract. Like it's
like look what Batum did last year, where you take a vet minimum to prove you can still play so you can get money the following year.
Yeah.
That might
a $6 million. Like I don't, yeah, but
I mean, that would be great. That'd be so much better than some of the moves they made last year. So
yeah, I guess they had no choice. Right. But like, if you're talking about this year, I think that's a great option in vet min. I think the Warriors do get vet min players. They get some, I think Rudy Gay too, but yeah, that tax payer mid-level is going to be, because I think it's going to be, they're willing to give it all for Batum, and I don't know how realistic that is. But I'm in on Porter.
I think Batum's going to get three of those offers, and then it's down to which one he prefers. Like, does he want to go to the Lakers? Does he see upside with the Warriors? Is he more interested in, you know, going to like Milwaukee and just giving them another wing guy? You know, maybe replace PJ Tucker because PJ is 800 years old. Yeah. Although PJ never seems to age. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. All right, let's end it here. We're going to be back on Sunday when free agency starts. We'll have some more thoughts on all this. But I think my big takeaway from the draft is they took upside. We don't really know what direction they're going in. And I think that's what's frustrating. It has nothing to do with the players. It has everything to do with, are we in on development or are we going to actually chase it with Steph? Because right now they're sitting in like this middle space that's just strange. There's no other team in the middle space like them.
And at the end of the day, you don't have the guys to do both. You don't have the guys right now to win a championship, presumably, unless you tell me Clay is 100%. And then you don't have the guys to tell me that you're going to do a rebuild and have it work out perfectly, because Wiseman and Kuminga, they aren't top prospects. Yeah, they're not like number one prospects, right? If they had a shot tonight and they got Evan Mobley, then I'd be like, Sam, like, now we're in business, right? Like you can do both sides, but they're in the middle and they're high
upside guys, but they're not like sure things like Cade Cunningham. Like Cade's a sure thing.
Yeah.
Or as close as sure things as you're gonna get.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was a good draft. I still give these guys an A for what the draft was, and we'll be back Sunday night.
And let's see what happens. Let's see what happens with Bradley Beal and Siakam.